Well, here we are on the 4th of April, one of the quietest Aprils we've come across for quite some time. It's actually Saturday. We're meeting on the Sabbath day again, and we pray that you have a good Lord's Day or a good Sabbath day evening, whenever it is that you happen to be listening to this service. God bless you, and do indeed pray for the brethren. Amen. Remember, if you're listening to this, the odds are that we've handed it to you and you're being prayed for too. So you're on our minds too. We're going to begin with a wee word of prayer, and then we're going to sing Blessed Assurance. Just remember, at any time, if you need a moment or two to find a Bible reference or to find the words for a song, you can just hit the pause button and continue playing the recording whenever you find the words of the reference. Feeling that, just listen along and sing along as best you can. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this new day and for life and health and strength. Thank you, Lord, for the blessed promise that no matter where we are, we have the freedom to come before you, Lord, to come into your very presence, to tell you all our troubles and woes, and to know, Lord, that you have us in the palm of your hand, that you'll always have a listening ear and a watchful eye. Thank you, Lord, for your Son, Christ Jesus. We thank you for the free gift of everlasting life, for the conviction of the Holy Spirit, and for the decision that each soul has made to choose you as their own personal Saviour. Please bless the meeting this morning. Please, Lord, I pray you look out for our leaders and give them wisdom. Convict them greatly of the right decisions to be made. And Lord, I pray you the same for the population of the world. We are still in the grip of this coronavirus outbreak as of the 4th of April 2020. I pray you please, Lord, that you would give people a good sense to behave responsibly and to help this outbreak to pass as quickly as possible. You know, as the weather gets better and some people's attention spans are not the best, that people are going to do silly things, Lord, I pray you spare lives, Father. Spare lives and save souls. And now, Lord, bless our meeting and our time together. And we ask it all in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus, and according to your will. Amen. Right, 143 is Blessed Assurance.
Glory divine, there are salvation, mercy.
assurance, our next hymn is going to be A Shelter in the Time of Storm. But before we get there, I want to... I think I might actually have a wee Bible reading here. If I can just find it right quick. I think I know where it is. Alright, sometimes this isn't as easy as it sounds, and this is what it pays to have these things at your fingertips. Alright, there we are. This one is from Romans chapter 6 and verse number 8. Romans chapter 6 and verse number 8. Hope it's a help to you. If you're reading in the Bible anywhere, it will be a help to you. You have to keep reading it. Romans chapter 6 and verse number 8, and the Word of God says, Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lusts thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. There we go. Thank you for that. All right. We're keeping on going. Now's about the time we do our announcements. All I need to do is find them. And then we will haven't changed very much. And the one respect you'll be glad to hear, it's a little bit like the news articles on the websites. Most of them start with COVID-19 or coronavirus. I know that does not do much to pacify a mind, but here's a little bit of advice for us. We are where we are, and the Lord would have us to do certain things. It's not just the churches that are being asked to close, it's everywhere that's being asked to close, and people being asked to stay away from each other. But many years ago, whenever we would go tracking on a Tuesday evening, and we were in some of the more troubled areas of the town, I remember the local news coming on this one morning, and it talked about a car that had been hijacked the night before, and it was set on fire just in the very area that we were going to be tracking in. And I thought, Lord, I am actually a bit scared about this. And the Lord said, Mark, don't listen to that radio anymore first thing in the morning. Get up whenever the thing beeps and do a bit of a Bible reading, and you will find your strength and fearlessness there. And that's exactly what we did. We still went out and tracked, and we still had a blessed time spreading the gospel. We pray that some of those gospel tracts are still in the houses, and that's going back 15 or 20 years. But please do pray for all the leaflets and all the Bibles that have gone into doors over the years, and pray that they will turn up at the back of a drawer or the top of a cupboard or used as a bookmark somewhere. Please do pray for that. Pray for each other. Pray for Ling and Frank and Dr. Shang. Pray also for John and Christine and Will and their family as well. Pray for wee Rita. We haven't heard or seen very much. Unfortunately, this past 4 months now it'll be, but still alive and well. Please do pray for her family, her girls, Elaine and Hilary, and their families too. We remember, of course, Esther. Please do pray for Esther. Still not keeping 100%, and I think she was self-isolating, a bit like myself, before self-isolating became fashionable. So please do pray for her. Pray for Christy. He's got his hands full, looking after a house and working on his PhD and working from home as well with this medical company. Please do pray for him. And don't forget Pat and Steve. Steve just got out of hospital there earlier on in the week after having an angina attack. So please pray for him and for Pat as she ministers to him. And I know Pat and Steve would dearly love to see their new grandson, but it's just not going to work at the moment except through Facebook. So please do pray for them and Lorna and wee Henry and Philip and the rest of the family there as well. We miss Norman too. We miss everybody. We miss Norman as well. Please do pray for him. And even if we can't meet down here, we can meet in the halls of heaven in prayer. We need to pray for each other and pray for me. I had a setback about a fortnight ago. And still feeling the effects of it. Would appreciate your prayers. We don't forget Stephen either. Pray for Stephen. I think he's finding it tough to be at home and to find things to do. And Carol and John as well. It would be great for everyone to be here, but the way things are going at the moment, it's not going to be for another week or two or three yet. So I think they're reviewing it on the 21st of April, which is about 2.5 weeks away. So be much in prayer and do the right thing. And don't be part of the problem, but be part of the solution. Do also remember our missionaries and our missionary outreaches, the Kids for Schools, the Christian Institute. You remember Brother Cosgrave as well. And even though Brother Forrest is off the field, we do still pray for him and Judy and Chris and Ashley. So please remember all of those souls and the souls that are involved in them. They still need to eat. They still need to go out and buy clothes and pay bills just like everybody else. So please do remember them. If you have any, if the Lord really puts it upon your heart to put some funds aside for missions, just put it aside in a jam jar or an envelope, and the church is open. It's just not open for everybody to come along and to visit with at this particular time. The church is still operating. We're all still doing the work of a Christian, even if it is at home and on our hands and knees more than it would have been out and about putting letters, leaflets through doors and speaking to people face to face. Please do remember that. And even though it feels sometimes like we could wring the necks of those that are running the country, we're commanded to pray for them. So pray for Boris Johnson and pray for President Trump and pray for, I'm probably going to get this wrong, is it Xi, President Xi in China, and is it, who's in Canada at the moment? Is that Trudeau? I don't know. Maybe I'm going way back in time. There's Korea, North and South. There's Japan. There's Australia. There's Russia. We know Mr. Putin in Russia. Pray for him as well. Pray for the leaders in Europe and in South America and in Africa. All of these places around the world, that's only a few. Many of these countries have Christians under persecution. And many of these countries are just having a tough time themselves. But please do pray for the leaders of these countries in our world and have them making right decisions. I'm sure we each and every one of us have private prayer requests as well. So please do pray for those if you would. Amen. I think that's about that. I think we will sing hymn number 146. I suppose we're sheltering in place, I think they used to call it. So we're going to sing A Shelter in the Time of Storm. 146.
The Lord's our God.
I actually have a Bible reading as well today. And I was sitting looking at it and forgot all about it. So this one is from Isaiah chapter 62. And thank you for your Bible verses and Bible reading suggestions. Like I said, every single one of them will do you a world of good. This one is Isaiah 62. You don't have to be rushing, don't forget. You can hit that pause button and start it up any time. For Zion's sake will I not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. And the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all kings thy glory. And thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. Thou shalt also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of the Lord, of God. Thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, neither shall thy land any more be termed desolate. But thou shalt be called Hephzibah, and thy land Beulah. For the Lord delighteth in thee, and thy land shall be married. For as a young man marrieth a virgin, so shall thy sons marry thee. And as a bridegroom rejoiceth over the bride, so shall thy God rejoice over thee. I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day nor night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence. And give him no rest till he establish, until he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. The Lord hath sworn by his right hand and by the arm of his strength, surely I will no more give thy corn to be meat for thine enemies, and the sons of the stranger shall not drink thy wine for the which thou hast laboured. But they that have gathered it shall eat it, and praise the Lord, and they that have brought it together shall drink it in the courts of my holiness. Go through the gates, prepare ye the way of the people. Cast up the highway, gather out the stones, lift up a standard for the people. Behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the world, say ye to the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh, behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. And they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord, and thou shalt be called sought out, a city not forsaken. Amen. You know what? I think we will sing another song. Let's see. We'll do 312. 312. There we go. 312 is Open My Eyes. Monica and I are going to treat you today. Open my eyes that I may see.
Thank you.
note, we are going to open not our eye, well, hopefully our eyes and our ears and our hearts. We are going to open our Bibles at Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. And I had a great number of titles for this particular portion of God's Word. The two that spring immediately to mind were Noah, the government, and Jesus, and Jesus' Ark. So you can take whichever one you want. It's not very often the government gets actually made a part of a Bible preaching service, maybe except to wag the finger at them or to give off about some of the latest laws that they've forced upon us, like abortion and gay marriage and, oh goodness, so many other things as they try to chip away at our religious freedoms. Anyway, we're going to begin reading at verse number 1, and we're going to read right the way through until the end of Genesis chapter 6. The Word of God says, "And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he is also flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. And there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, The end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and thou shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make in the ark, and in a cubit thou shalt finish it above, and the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it. And behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life, from under heaven. And everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee I will establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons, and thy wife, and thy sons' wives with thee. And of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark, to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female. Of fowls after their kind, and of cattle after their kind, of every creeping thing of the earth, after his kind, two of every sort shall come into thee to keep them alive. And take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he." Amen. Verse number 14 is going to be our text, where the Lord commands Noah to make an ark of gopher wood. And we are going to speak on the subject of Jesus' ark this morning. Let's pray again. Heavenly Father, we do indeed thank you that we have the freedom to meet together and to come along and to worship together. We pray, Lord, that you would bless our time around your word, that you would open our understanding. I pray you for myself, Lord, for the words to speak, and Lord, for the right spirit to deliver this message. Please bless all the hearers of it, Lord. I think especially on my dad, on the folks in my boy Road, on Henry and Evelyn, on Stephen and Anne-Marie, on Carol and Jane. Pray you too for Billy's friends and neighbours, especially Sammy and Kate, and Alan Leslie, Lord. Please do, I pray you, look after these souls. Be with Pearl as well, Lord, and bless and keep her. And see all those, Lord, that are maybe just a little bit vulnerable at this time. I pray you, Lord, that you would see them safely through this outbreak. Lord, I pray, please, that you would, not that you would walk with us, Lord, but that we would walk with you. I'm just reminded of that last verse or two that's written in Genesis 6. That Noah did all of what God commanded. And we need to fix that in our hearts and make a point of doing it, Lord. Bless us and keep us now. Thank you, Lord, for your many blessings and for the troubles. And for you, Lord, being a light through them. I love you and thank you, Father. I pray that you would bless us again and cleanse us and refresh us and prepare us to meet the coming week. And we ask it all in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and according to your will. Amen. All right. Verse number 14 is our text where the Lord commands Noah to make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without with pitch. And before we even get into that, I am reminded of John chapter 10 every time I look at this portion of God's word. Now, most times you would think, yep, makes sense to waterproof a boat on the outside to keep the water off of the wood. But God actually commanded Noah to waterproof it on the inside as well, to protect it from anything that might be going on in the ark. So spilled water and who knows what else might have lain in the bottom of the ark. But the waterproofing there would protect the boat. I'm reminded also, as I said in John 10, where the word of God says, and I used to wonder at this too, how does Jesus keep me in the palm of his hand and God keep me in the palm of his hand? Well, that's like putting a butterfly in your hand and putting your two hands over the top of it. Now, the thing about that is, we know that it's in there, but we don't know what sort of shape it is in there. So the Lord also gave us the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We are pitched within and without by God Almighty as well. The Word of God says, no man can pluck you out, and that means nothing that even you can do in your Christian life is going to cause your salvation to disappear. Now, as we look at this portion of God's Word, we are only six chapters. We're six chapters into a book. I think I'm about a millimeter into a book that's nearly an inch and a half, maybe 3 centimeters. Hardly any time at all, and already things are going wrong. It started out in the Garden of Eden, and the whole world that Noah knew, it's no wonder that it went bad, has come into being because of Eve's deception by the devil. And Adam's disobedience of God's command not to eat of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Or as I put all those initials down, and it's called the Togogi tree. The T-O-K-O-G-E, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, the Togogi tree. Everything that was going on in the world was down to deception and disobedience. Except for all the hundreds and perhaps thousands of people that were about in that day, except for Noah and his family, because they were perfect. They loved the Lord, and they followed the Lord. And it's sad that in this day and age where we have so much information, so much experience, so much at our fingertips, that we still keep making wrong decisions. I'm still annoyed about the government forcing gay marriage and basically unrestrained abortions upon Northern Ireland, so much for my boast that we were the most conservative part of God's creation still, but I think there's places that are still that are more conservative than us now. Anyway, there are always people about that love the Lord. There's always a remnant. Whenever God's people disobey God and he punishes them, he never punishes them to kill them. He punishes them to bring them to repentance. And sadly, there were far more about that didn't love him, didn't listen to him. And sometimes they just outright rebelled against him. The world was a jungle. The Lord remarked that the whole world was filled with violence. It's getting a bit like that today. It was a jungle. Every man, not every man for himself. It wasn't a disaster area. It was a veritable Garden of Eden, even without the Garden of Eden being there. People were living for tremendous lengths of time. Methuselah, the longest living man, was 960 something years old or something like that. And Noah, he lived for till he was about 950 years old. In fact, he lived a lot longer than most of the people, and I think even his own sons, whenever they came into the new world. But the problem with the whole world being filled with violence, it's not a surprise whenever everybody just did what came into their heads. Because the ideas that come into our heads many times, friends, are not the best of ideas. You know what? There's no harm in being tempted with things. The harm comes whenever you give into that temptation and whenever you make a place in your heart for that temptation. Anyway, God said, I didn't make a mistake whenever I made man, but I am sorry. It grieves me the way they have turned out. It repented the Lord. So God let Noah know that there was going to be a great flood. And I am sure just for a second or two, Noah might have thought, well, is God going to make a special way out for me? Because I have chosen to follow him and to obey him. And maybe just a thought of doubt flitted across his mind. That's the old devil working hard there. But God said, I want you to make a boat. And I want you to make a really, really big boat. Like hundreds of feet long, about 70 to between 70 and 100 feet wide, and about 50 or 60 foot tall. That's the size of the boat I want you to make. God gave him a way out. God always gives us a way out. When temptation comes our way, if you're a child of the King of Kings, the Lord has promised he'll make a way for you to avoid it or bear it. Whichever way that works, God is faithful. And he'll always give you a way out. Now, that doesn't mean he's going to give you a way out whenever you dig yourself into a pit. Sometimes you're going to have to take your punishment in the chin, but like the Lord said, if you trust him as your Savior, he'll keep you in the palm of his hand, and your salvation can never be affected. You know, your testimony might hit the bricks, your friends might hit the bricks, your family might hit the bricks whenever you do stupid things. But your salvation is safe and secure in God's hand. God said to Noah, whenever you build this boat, get all your family into it. Everything that you need. And I'll get you the animals and you can put them in. Now, thing about it is, everybody was going to be judged on their belief. And of all, you don't just build a boat about 500, maybe 600 foot long in a day. I'm not sure whether Noah could have paid anybody to come and help him. So I'm sure it took more than a year. Maybe even 2 or 3 years. 2 or 3 decades. But between Noah being mentioned And the flood being over was 100 years. And I am sure it took a fair few number of those years to get the ark up and going. And I am sure Noah took every opportunity to warn people. Because the thing about Christian people is we don't delight in people having difficult times and people dying in their sins and going to hell. It grieves us when people do. It saddens us. It's the love of God and a believer's heart that will constrain them to speak to a lost soul about their eternity. And I am sure if Noah was perfect in all his generations, I am sure he had a big heart for lost souls. And the flood that was coming was a judgment on whether souls believed upon God or not, on whether they were going to be faithful to God. Unfortunately, we actually know how the rest of the account goes. Noah and his sons, well, at least Noah, at any rate, preached as they built. And I am sure as they preached, people laughed. Look at those holy Joes. They are built in a boat the size of the shopping centre, or at least a fairly big shop, and they're building it in the middle of nowhere. Where's he going to go? And look at that, he hasn't even put a rudder on it. And every week as they turned up, I am sure that with all the shenanigans that were going on, with the lies and the murders and the adulteries and the just the outright maliciousness of people, I am sure some of them every week, maybe every day, turned up to laugh at Noah as he built the ark. And they would have said many times, Noah, when's this flood going to happen? You said that last week. You said that the week before and the week before. You were even saying that last year. And then they went about their business. They, as the Bible says, marrying and giving in marriage, if indeed they even bothered with that anymore. The immorality, they're lying, they're cheating and stealing. Just went back to doing that again. And then whenever they fancied a good laugh, they would say, come on, let's grab a few beers and go and laugh at Noah. And I am sure it was a great burden to Noah. It always is when the people that you love and the people that you've given the gospel to turn their back upon the word, upon the Lord. But they still went about their business. Noah and his sons were in the business of saving souls, even if it was only 8. And so they kept going until they put the final slat on the roof, until they put the final lick of pitch upon that slat. And then they went out and grabbed all their gear, pots and pans, knives, saws, hammers, you name it. They went out and got it and loaded up the ark with all their stuff. And then the animals started appearing. 2 by 2, from all the way across the world. And they all filed in, and they all were directed to their stalls for the stay and the ark a full year. And then, 3 days later, God shut the door. I am sure even as Noah walked in and the people were standing there scratching their heads with these animals lined up and going in, and then Noah and his family all going in, and then Noah shouting, look, it's not too late, the door's still open, come in. And the door remained open for 3 more days. And you know all that it would have taken for any soul to be saved, to even to hedge their bets, would have wanted to say to his friends, do you know what, I'm going to go in and see what these holy Jews are all about. That's all it would have taken. I'm going to go in. I'm just going to do what Noah says. I'm going to take a pack back for the crack. And I'm going to go in. I'm going to have a cup of tea with Noah. I'm just going to have a look around and see what it's all about. That's all it would have taken. Didn't even have to believe in God. Or maybe that is a belief in God. Maybe that's an uncertainty about the conviction of God. But you know what? That's all it would have taken to have saved the life back then. Bible records that God shut the door, sealed the door, and that's all it would have taken. But the Word of God records that people didn't want to entertain the notion of God and judgment at all. In fact, does that sound a bit like today? Nobody wanted to do that until, not even, I would say, when the rain started to fall. Now you have to bear in mind that up until this time, a mist used to come up from the ground and water the plants. So the rain started falling. I'm sure this new thing, people looked up and this rain was falling and thought, that's new. And they wouldn't have even thought about it as their feet started to get a wee bit muddy as the rain churned up the ground. And then as the water got up to their ankles, they might have thought, oh, what? Maybe there was something to that, and they would have taken a step up into their houses. And then it would have come up to their ankles and their knees. And then it would have risen up to their waists. And I think most people would have been keen to get in that ark about now. But it's too late because judgment had begun. And then up to their chests, up to their necks, and then finally over their heads. No matter where they were in the world, by the time judgment began, it was too late to change their minds. I am sure some of them managed to get onto a piece of floating debris, and some maybe even lasted a day or two. But you're not going to last. We've heard stories about people lasting on lifeboats with provisions for a month or two. But I don't think anybody has lasted a year under torrential rain and huge floods. Even look at our own country over this past year or two, whenever the floods have been in England. Once a flood starts, it doesn't stop. Everyone not in the ark died simply because they rejected the preaching of the cross. That's it. Because they refused to trust in God's salvation. And no matter the box or the wall or the house or the tree or the hill or even the mountaintop that people climbed onto, there was no man could save himself. It still wasn't enough. Now, I have an interesting note here, as whenever I look at these things, I know a lot of people don't like the Bible whenever it says the earth was made in 7 days. And I don't like the Bible when it says it's only about 6,000 years old. And that's fine, you're entitled to your opinion, just like all the people back in Noah's day, just like the people in Jesus' day, just like the people today. You're entitled to your own opinion. And no matter what country you live in, nobody has started policing people's thoughts yet. But I want for you to know that Adam knew Methuselah. Adam, as in Adam and Eve. They knew Methuselah, and there wouldn't have been very many people about then. But Methuselah, the longest living man, he knew Noah. And guess what? Noah knew Abraham. Abraham knew Isaac, and Isaac knew Jacob. And Jacob, he saw his people into Egypt. And 400 years later, Moses came out of Egypt and brought the children of Israel with him. And we have the entire history of the Jewish people. And God referred to Adam and Abraham and Noah whenever he walked on the face of this earth. Friends, it's worth bearing in mind the things that the Bible says. Now, in this present day, we said one of the titles for the service was Noah, the Government, and Jesus. I want to spend a moment or two on the government. I'm not by any stretch of the imagination putting the government on a par with God, but the government has been allowed to have power by God. Not just our government, but all the governments of the world. And the government has said, at least in our little neck of the woods, that you are to stay at home. Because home is safe. It will keep you safe if you stay at home during this time of, well, we call it judgment, of a coronavirus that has been allowed to get out into the world. We have a modern day plague. The government has come up with, if you like, in quotes, an ark of salvation for every single person to stay in their house as much as possible in order to avoid this plague. The fewer people that you interact, it's standard quarantine rules, it's in the Bible. Thousands of years before people even knew of germs, God was teaching people how to avoid them, washing your hands and staying away from people if you've been in contact with sick people, or if indeed you're sick yourself. Fewer people that you interact with, the less chance you have of getting ill. That's standard quarantine procedure. It's a classical response to communicable diseases. Don't come into contact with people. Then those that have it, it'll stop with them, and then it'll disappear. But unfortunately, there are still a few people that think the rules apply to everybody else, just like back in Noah's day, and they will continue to go out and mix with people and party and think that, oh, alcohol's going to stop this problem. It doesn't. Alcohol only makes this problem more likely to be spread. And then more people will be infected and the whole cycle will start again. More people, sadly, will pass into eternity, saved and lost. And the quarantine will have to go on even longer. Sadly, souls will contract the virus and many will suffer the consequences. I think I looked last night on Fox News and said there's over 1 million cases of coronavirus in the world and there's over 50,000 deaths throughout the world so far. And I remember when we started talking about this, we were talking about a few hundred in China. So it's worth thinking on. There are always souls that will make it difficult for other souls. But the safest place to be right now is where the government says, your ark of salvation from this modern day plague at home. The disciples asked a question to the Lord a couple of thousand years ago. And they said to him, Lord, after he had spent a little bit of time trying to show not just the rich young ruler, but everybody that was around and about him, the place in men's hearts that can be taken up with all sorts of stuff in this particular case with the love of money. And the disciples said, Lord, who then can be saved? And in Mark chapter 10, verse 27, the Word of God records that Jesus, looking upon them, said, with men it is impossible. Men can't save themselves, but not with God, for with God all things are possible. And this is Jesus' ark, if you'll forgive my pronunciation. Over the years, men have tried a lot of stuff to drown out, to quiet, to divert the conviction of the Holy Spirit for another day, to assure themselves of their home in heaven. And you know what? There's a bunch of religions. Every religion except Bible-believing Christianity is making money out of letting men think they can and allowing them to pay for the privilege. And sadly, whilst many claim they've got it, their actions betray a real belief in, you know what, I can't guarantee that it's working and it's actually doing my head in. So I am going to live a life that will help me forget about the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Just in case you're wondering, but what about the people that live out in these foreign countries that have never heard the gospel? Well, the Word of God tells us that, first of all, the only way to heaven is by getting saved. Jesus said that, and he wasn't explaining it to a child, and he wasn't explaining it to an ignorant savage. He was explaining it to a minister in John chapter 3. He said, Nicodemus, if you don't get born again, you'll not even see the kingdom of heaven. But there's a portion of scripture in Romans chapter 1, I think it's verse number 20, it says that the invisible things of him that is God are clearly seen through the creation of the world, being understood by those things that are made, that's us. Something to do with, I've misquoted it. You know what, instead of misquoting it and badly quoting it, I'm just going to read it from Romans chapter 1. For the invisible things of him are clearly seen through the creation of the world, even his eternal power and Godhead, being understood by those things that are made, so that they are without excuse. I still misquoted it a bit, but there you go. In other words, just by looking around, you can understand that there is a great creator. And I remember an account, my wife will correct me on this later, of one of these, in quotes, savages that lived out in the middle of nowhere. Where was it? New Guinea. And all the people in his tribe used to offer sacrifices to keep the evil spirits from tormenting them. And one day he was just sat out and got to thinking, because God gave us a brain, and said, if there's a whole bunch of evil spirits out there that do bad things, surely there must be a good spirit out there that does good things. And he prayed to the good spirit to reveal himself, or to show himself, or to help him to understand. And it wasn't too much later until a Christian missionary arrived out that way and started telling everybody about the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. You know, we're not stupid. We don't have a hateful God. We have a loving God. We have a brain. And we can reason these things out. Just like the people in Noah's day, I have no doubt that people tried everything to stay out of the flood waters. And we saw people trying to keep the floodwaters out of their homes with sandbags. There was even one fella put up a huge inflatable barrier around his house. People were laughing at him until it kept out the floodwaters. But in the end, it really didn't do them any good. The floods came, brought in tons, thousands and millions of tons of dirty water and mud, ruined thousands of people's homes. Just didn't do them any good. The only way to avoid a flood water is not to be anywhere near the flood water. The sad thing about it is, sad in one respect, is that a lot of people just won't listen to God. They want to live a good life. And that's an admirable quality. People should want to live a good life. But you will never live a life that is good enough for God, that is good enough for him to allow you into heaven. It is not of works of righteousness, lest any man should boast. It's the gift of God, not of works. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. The thing about it is, friends, judgment is coming. And judgment will do exactly what the flood did back in Noah's day. It will touch everybody that is not in the ark. Everybody, everything will be taken away that is not in Jesus' ark. And Jesus' ark wasn't built with man's hands. It wasn't built under the instruction of man. It was God Almighty, who knows anything, everything, can do anything, and is everywhere. And I can guarantee you that if he could have found a way to save our souls that didn't involve the sacrifice of his own life on the cross 2,000 years ago, he would have done it. It would have been so much easier, but there wasn't. Just like back in Noah's day, if there had been another way to avoid the flood, God would have said so. But he said to Noah, this is the only way, because the word of God records that the waters rose up over even the tallest of mountains. There was no way. He sent the Son. He devised a plan from the foundation of the earth. That's one of the names of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the earth. He said, Jesus, these folks are lost without a hope. And no matter what they do, they can't save themselves. I am going to need you to go down and to prepare an ark of salvation for them. And that's what he did. From the very beginning of recorded history, right until now, God has given us examples of what Christ was come to do and has recorded all of those examples in his word so that we can look at them And we can reason within ourselves, hold on a wee second, whenever this Jesus came into the world, this is the Saviour. You might think, how could people do that? Well, do you know what? He gave the people back in Jesus' day thousands of years to prepare for him, and a good 400 to prepare for John the Baptist, just at the end of Malachi. And he gave us the example in Jesus' life of exactly who he was, through the miracles, through the words. And he showed us the difference it makes in the lives of those that are and Jesus are. Do you know what, folks? There's no animals coming in this time to give us a sign. The boat is built, the ark is built, but there are plenty of other signs. I know if you've listened to many services, you will know that I love the prophecy in the Word of God. Prophecy is wonderful for the hope it instills that the Lord is as good as his word, but we still need the rest of the preaching of God's word about how to live and how to treat people in between now and when he comes back. But away back in Daniel chapter 12, whenever God was busy punishing the children of Israel for the rebellion, he was speaking to the whole world through Daniel. And Daniel 12, he said, there's going to be a great explosion of knowledge. Men are going to travel to and fro. In Matthew chapter 24, he said, verse 22, there is going to be the ability that man will have to kill every single living person on the face of the earth. We've only been able to do that in the last 30 or 40 years. He also said in Matthew chapter 24 and Revelation chapter 1 that there will be a global communications network. In other words, when Jesus comes back, every eye will see him. Now, if there was a thunderstorm here, the only way every eye would see it if someone put it on the internet, but there you have your global communications network. You also have our modern day video and computer generated images, which is mentioned in Revelation chapter 13, where it talks about the beast having the power to give the image of the beast life. It also mentions in Jeremiah chapter 23, over 2,500 years ago, about Israel being made a nation again. And that happened just 70 years ago. It also mentioned in Zechariah chapter 12 that the whole world would be worried about Israel, and it talks about them being a cup of trembling. And with that, sadly, it talks in Matthew 24 again about a great threat to Israel, about how there will be an attempt to utterly wipe it out, and a warning to the Jewish people that are left in the world at that time. It says, look, whenever you see these things happen, don't you be hanging about. Don't even go back into the house to gather up supplies. You just get in your cars or whatever and head for the hills. It says in the last days the state of people will be very, very poor. In 2 Peter 3 and 2 Timothy 3, even in Isaiah chapter 5 and 6, it talks about people giving good for evil and evil for good. It mentions people being proud and covetous and boasters. It talks about them being unholy and unthankful. And that's the way many people are. They think the world owes them a living. Having no natural affection, not even loving wives or children or mothers and fathers. Laughing at the preaching of the cross. And even in 2 Timothy 3, it gives the state of preachers. Men that are supposed to be fighting the corner of God for men's souls are actively out making little of the gospel. I knew a Methodist minister many years ago who, whenever we were going round the doors, his wife nearly had a hissy fit when I put a gospel in through the... In fact, she did have a hissy fit. Put a gospel tract in through her door. And then confided in me later on that they always had bother with born-agains. If you have bother with born-agains, you're going to have bother with Jesus Christ. Matthew 24, I know I refer to that quite a lot, but it's there, and it's in Luke, and it's in Mark as well. It says, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall grow cold. That's talking about you and me. That's talking about Bible believers and how little we esteem God and how little we esteem His gospel. And our lives just become like the lives of the church at Ephesus, just going through the motions. But we've left our first love. We have probably one of the most controversial signs of the Lord coming back is the mark of the beast. And that's already available. We chip all the animals with a unique identifying number. It'll come to the point where they do the same with people. It's available. Some people have it done. And it says that if you don't have it, you'll not be able to buy or sell. And it will be in your right hand or in your forehead. And all the while, people are just going to go on with their lives, buying and selling, giving in marriage, and taking in marriage, thinking everything is okay. Just like they did back in Noah's day. So the question really is, what are you going to do about it? We know that at this particular time, we have another 2 and a bit weeks to go before the quarantine arrangements are going to be reviewed. We're hoping that the number of infections is going to start tailing off, and the number of deaths, I pray, is going to be very, very low. What are you going to do? Are you going to stay in your house and keep yourself to yourself for the next couple of weeks, or are you going to go out and are you going to mix with people and party with people and kiss people and sneeze over them and let them do the same to you? What you would say, you would have to be mad, because I could get the coronavirus and it could be serious with me. And that's the right way of thinking. But do you know what? It's the same with Jesus. What are you going to do with Jesus' ark? Are you going to laugh at it? Are you going to mock at the effort that God put into providing it for you? Are you going to turn your nose up at all of the signs that God has prepared, and indeed even today is allowing us to see? And people are saying, well, what is that? Well, Matthew 24 again talks about wars and rumors of wars and famines and pestilences, sicknesses in diverse places. What are you going to do? Well, I did it years ago, just coming up on 31 years ago, I think, in about a week or 10 days. I went in. I believed what Jesus said. I took him by faith, and I went into the ark. I was the guy that said, I believe that, and walked into the ark. I am going to go in here and see what it's all about. And I have not been disappointed. I can guarantee you, if someone had walked in from the crowd and had sat there and the door slammed shut, I know he would have been made right at home by Noah and his family. He would have had literally the shirt off their back and the food off of their table. He would have been welcomed, but nobody did. When you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you tell him you're sorry for your sins and you mean it from the bottom of your heart and ask him to save you, the Bible says he will. He'll not turn you away. He'll not leave you behind. And he'll not throw you out. He loves you to bits, because some things never change. One is our nature and our great need for a savior. Another is our attempts to try and wipe out that need for a Savior with anything that we can lay our hands on. And another thing is God's great love for His creation and His provision of His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, for any soul that will say, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. It's a great account. It's not a story, Noah. It's an account of a world that turned their back upon the Lord. And even today we see the rainbows whenever we get a rainstorm, whenever there's a little bit of sunshine about. And that was the promise of God, that he would never judge the earth by water again. However, in 2 Peter chapter 3, he does say that all of this stuff will be burned up with a fervent heat and a great noise. And he lays the challenge at our feet there. Where do you want to be whenever that happens? Do you want to be in the sight of the angels in heaven with God and all the saved of every generation? Or do you want to be in hell? It's up to you. All that it takes for you to say is, in Romans chapter 10, if you confess with your lips the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Jesus' ark is the way to go. And I pray you today that you would give it some serious thought. God bless you and thank you. We are going to have one more song for you, a treat, I hope. Mrs. Bradfield, I think I saw her looking through her hymn book and she may have chosen one for us already. Go ahead.
19,
there is a fountain. Hymn number 19. Let's do that.
Thank you.
Well, I hope that wasn't too sore on the old eardrums or on the heart or the soul. We love you and we want the best for you and pray that you would come to the realization that is at the foot of the cross, at the feet of the Savior, just like the demoniac out of whom was cast a legion of devils. They knew that he was a changed man when they came across him again. He was clothed and in his right mind at the feet of the Savior. God loves you and wants the very best for you, and we pray that as well. We're going to dismiss with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do indeed thank you, Lord, for the life and health that you've given us. And I pray you, Lord, for life and health, not just for us, but for our countrymen too. Please watch over us and keep us as we go. See us safely home and around the doors with CDs and onto the internet with and Facebook and www.bbcib.com. Lord, I pray you please that you would indeed use this to comfort and to strengthen and to open the understanding and the eyes of any and every soul that would hear it. Just thank you for loving us. We thank you again for your Son, Christ Jesus, for your word, for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And we ask this in our private prayer requests. We ask, Lord, that you would grant them according to your will. Please be with all the souls that were mentioned during the service, and many others as well, Lord. And we know, Lord, that it may seem an impossible task for us, but with you, everything's possible. Thank you again, Lord, for loving us, for always having a watchful eye on us, and for keeping an ear open for us as well, Lord. And we just ask all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Till next week then, folks, God bless you. Bye-bye.